Give the Lord a hand of applause in His house. To those of you who are watching by internet, we would love to have you in our church. If you go to our website, www.cobaptist.org, it tells you that we are a suburb of Louisville, Kentucky, and would love to have you. This is my first time in the pulpit in 2012, so let me say Happy New Year to you. We're looking forward to a good 2012, but we believe with all of our hearts, folks, just as we did in 2009, 10, 11, 12, this could be the year that the Lord comes. We're going to be ready for it, and if you listen to us, we're going to tell you how to survive. I need Christian people, those who are listening here, that's in my faithful audience, as those who are listening by internet, we need Christian people in survival mode. And that means that we're going to live for Jesus, look to Jesus, pray to Jesus. No matter what comes our way, we will serve Him in 2012. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Brother Ken, let's go with our first piece of scripture, please. We are beginning a new series on what I'm calling spiritual warfare. If you are here today and you are a child of God, you are in the midst of a battle. You are in a spiritual battle, and it is war. Satan would do everything that he can to distract you, do everything he can to defeat you, do everything he can to make you miserable. I will say this over and over and over again. To those watching by internet, it may be a phrase you've not heard me use a lot, but the people in my congregation hear me say this all the time. Satan only has as much power as you give him. He's coming after you and coming after your family. But you will see in this series that I'm going to show you that if you believe in Jesus, if you live for Jesus, and you put Him out in front of you, and you follow Him, Satan has to come through Jesus before he gets to you, and he will be defeated. Now, what I want to show you before I get into a lot of scripture about what Satan's all about, I want to show you that when we call upon Jesus, no matter what you're going through, what you're facing, whether you're a teenager, young adult, middle-aged adult, old adult, whether or not you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whether you have a job or you don't, whether you have money or you don't, whether you're married, divorced, single, it makes no difference what you're dealing with in life. Jesus has been tempted. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, I'm not going to get into all of what Jesus was tempted. That's another series, another time. But I want you to see this. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to deal with Satan. A lot of times, I really want you to see this. A lot of times, when we get into the wilderness of life, sometimes God Almighty allows it and lets us get into the wilderness. Because when we deal with this, how we get out of this is how do we prepare for it and just how hungry are we? I'm going to break it down in a minute. Bow your heads with me. See, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, bless us today. When we leave this place today, may we truly understand how powerful Satan is. He's very powerful. But we serve a God that's more powerful. But the question is going to come down, who are we serving? Are we serving God or are we serving Satan? There is no gray area. Whose side do we want to be on? How far can forgiveness go? How deep do we have to get in sin before we wake up? Father, we have to ask ourselves these questions in order to understand the true personality of Satan. But Father, we're going to understand. Not only does he have a personality, but he has a will. But thank God, I serve a Jesus that has a will too. And Father, it's my prayer today that Jesus becomes the winner in all of our lives. For Satan is at an all-time frenzy to defeat us where we stand, where we sit. But Father, we serve a God today that can remove that sin as far as east is from the west. Because when he stretched his hand on Calvary's cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. That forgiveness is within our reach. That grace is within our reach. That power is within our reach. If we will turn to Jesus today. To those by internet, may they turn to Jesus today. To those who are in this audience, may we turn to Jesus today. For the day is coming. The time is running. The clock is ticking. For Jesus is coming soon. Father, touch our lives today. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. I want to ask or answer a question that I'm asked constantly. Why does Jesus allow things to happen to me? Now, they'll ask that on several different ways, but it all comes around to this. Why does the Holy Spirit allow things to happen? If Jesus is going in the wilderness, you and I are too. Because there is a reason for the wilderness. And I know you're thinking, well, I can't wait to hear this. Because I hate the wilderness. I hate sin. I hate when my life's tore up. I hate when my family's tore up. I hate it when I don't have any money. I hate it when my kids act up. My husband acts up. My wife acts up. My employer acts up. And the whole world's gone nuts. I don't like it. I want peace. I want harmony. I want happiness. Well, who don't? Do you think Jesus didn't want that? But that is not reality in the world we live in now. There's a world coming one day where that will be reality. It's called heaven. We're not there yet. But until we get there, there's going to be wilderness in our lives. And when we get to the wilderness, Satan will be waiting for you. But that's okay. Because you can't defeat him. You can't run him off. So you just might as well affect the fact. I don't know what that means, but it sounded good, didn't it? It's a fact. Satan is in the wilderness, and he's waiting for you. And you're going to go. Now, if Jesus and Satan both are in the wilderness, you have a choice. Watch this with me. You have a choice. When you're in the wilderness, who are you going to run to? You're going to run to Jesus. You're going to run to Satan. Now, you got a choice. Because a lot of times, when you're here, you're mad at this one. You with me so far? Let me take you a little deeper. When you're in the wilderness, you're mad at Jesus. When you're in the wilderness, you need to run to Jesus. Because if you don't run to Jesus, then you belong to Him. Now look, when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that wasn't by accident. Now I'm not going to get into a discussion on fasting, but in Jesus' day, this was a way that you prepared for spiritual battle. Now, did Jesus have to prepare to meet the devil? I mean, could Jesus have lost to the devil? No. Let me give you some real theology here, because this is what's going to make the difference. Jesus went to the wilderness to meet Satan. Not because there was this chance that he might lose, but he needed for you to see that he didn't go anywhere. That wherever you're at, he's been there. Listen to me closely. What's this mean in your life? I'm not talking about out in the woods. I'm talking about in the middle of Sin City. It could be your home. It could be your bedroom. It could be your work. It could be your car. It could be your billfold. It could be your brain, your heart, your health. Are you with me? Wilderness means that you are in a place that's not comfortable at all. I really want to teach you something. I really want you to see something before I get into this series big time. Because people come to me so often when they're in this area of life and they want to blame this one. Don't blame Jesus. Because if you don't get on his side, you might not come out of this. And then you're going to deal with this one. And if you're not prepared, because he hungered. Now, a lot of people have asked me, do you think Jesus really was hungry? Oh, yes. He was in the physical here, people. I guarantee you he was hungry. And we all know the first temptation, because Satan is smart. He's sharp. And the very first thing he comes to Jesus is food. He said, if you are the Son of God, take them stones, make them into ham, make it into turkey. Well, not ham, he was Jewish. Now that was funny, people. I don't care what you say right there, that was funny. Wake up, people. I'm trying to find out if y'all are sharp as I am. I'm on medication. Turn it into bread. Set you up a meal. Even though it's not on the screen, what did Jesus say? We don't live by what alone? Bread. I want you to see this before we go. Jesus, Satan, both in the wilderness. You choose who. Jesus prepared for it. You need to prepare for the wilderness, because it may come today. You can get a phone call, you're going to be in the wilderness. You can get an email, you can be in the wilderness. You can meet the right person today and be in the wilderness. You can say the wrong thing today and be in the wilderness. They're both there. Who do you choose? How do we prepare? You're preparing, those of you that are in God's house right now, you're preparing yourself right now for the wilderness. The best place to prepare for the wilderness of life is in God's house. And if you're watching by internet, you need to find you a church home, people who believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and believe that he's coming again. And they preach it and teach it. Get in there. Because when you get into God's house where people love you and they love Jesus, that's how we get out of the wilderness for a moment in time, is to get around God's people. It's the answer to getting out of the wilderness. Now, some churches, when you go in, you're going right back into the wilderness. They don't love you. They don't care about you. Well, man, they won't even speak to you. Believe me, if a church doesn't provide a place of safety and comfort out of the wilderness, preachers, listen, they will answer to God. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. All right, KB, let's go to the next verse, please. I'm going to quote this over and over and over and over and over through this series. This needs to be highlighted in your Bible, underlined in your Bible, and it wouldn't hurt you to read it two or three times a day. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, that's your past, and today, that's right now, and forever. Not only is that tomorrow, but that's for eternity. What does that mean? I don't care when you get into the wilderness. Number one, if you're lost, you stay in the wilderness. I don't care how good life's treating you or how bad life's treating you. Spiritually, you're in the wilderness if you're lost. But just because you're lost, Jesus is there. And even you could be drunk, high on drugs, in any kind of form of a relationship. And if you are willing to ask Jesus to forgive you, love you, change you, and you call upon him in the name of Jesus, wherever you're at, around the world, or here, Jesus can change it, and he will forget what you did yesterday. Oh, boy, does that deserve a hand of applause in his house. You believe that? Yep. Now, when I do that, whether I'm here, home, motel room, jail, my today is going to change if I say, Jesus, come into my life right now. I know I'm a sinner, and you pray, and you say, Jesus, forgive me of my past. I am a sinner, and I believe that you live for me, died for me, arose for me, and you're coming back for me. And I don't care what you've done, how bad it could be. And even if you're being punished by man in jail, you may die in jail. But let me tell you this, if you're a child of God, there were several other people in the New Testament that were in jail, and Jesus went and got them right there too. Don't make any difference. If you want to change, you can change. And you need to do it today. Because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if you're a child of God, listen to me closely. If you are a child of God, you're going to love that. But I want you to listen to me very closely. If you're not a child of God, you're not going to like that. Because when it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, me being a Christian, I love this. But if I'm not a Christian, you better also understand it. Because it's a two-edged sword. It means if you don't ask for forgiveness for your past, if you don't ask for forgiveness today, when it comes to forever, he's not going to forgive you then either. That's just Bible. Because one day, Jesus says, every knee is going to bow to me. Every knee, every person who's ever walked this planet is going to come face to face with Jesus. And how he's going to respond to you is what you did here, what you did here. Because that's going to affect what he does here. Do you get that? I'm walking slowly with you. I want you to see this. Because this can either be the greatest blessing in your life or it can be the greatest curse. Because he's not going to change. Sin that was sin 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, in Jesus' eyes is sin today. The Bible didn't change. Neither does Jesus. And to those who denied him 2,000 years ago, they're going to be in the same place as those who deny him tomorrow. That doesn't change. Hell was created. That's not going to change. Thank God. Heaven was created. And that will not change. You have the choice today on what you do, how you live. And the choice is going to come down. Satan, Jesus. Satan, Jesus. Let's go to the next verse, Brother Ken. I want you to look at this as I set the foundation of where this study is going to go. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I'm not going to change those words. I believe they're pretty self-explanatory. I, Jesus, Satan, Jesus, am come that they might have life. Kill, life. Destroy, life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Satan's got three things on his mind and heart. It's never changed. He's going to steal from you. He's going to try to kill you. He's going to try to destroy you. Now, this can be physically, but more than likely, all of this is spiritually. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. I want those words to ring out in your memory, because here is the real nature of Satan when we get into this study. You're never going to know when he's doing this, when he's doing this, when he's doing this, because he's not going to come to you as some type of wild warrior to destroy you. He's a little smarter than that. And in this series, we're going to talk, how does Satan approach me? How can God's people, Christian people that have been Christian for years and not recognize Satan, because he's sharp. He's smart, and you'll be surprised. He'll find some kind of weakness in your life, and he'll come in that form of that weakness. Because if you are a child of God, what he wants to do is steal your testimony. He wants you so miserable. He wants you so depressed. He wants you so weak that you can't even get out of bed. He wants you so depressed that you're on everything that money can't buy. He wants you in such a shape that you literally, he don't even have to do it. You will kill and destroy yourself. That's coming in this series. You think this don't preach in 2012? But there's another side of this that we got to understand. Because Jesus realizes what he's out to do. He's coming. I'm coming. You get to play the words here? Jesus said this. The thief comes. I'm coming. They're both right in front of you. Which one are you going to choose? One's pulling one way. The other one's pulling the other. But both of them allow you to make the choice. Are you with me? You make the choice. Do you want a life where it's robbed from you, kills you, kills your personality, kills your life, kills your witness, and then destroys you, destroys your family, destroys your home, destroys your health? Or do you want this? How come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly? Steal, kill, destroy. Our life more abundantly. Now, on the surface, that sounds like a no-brainer to me. But you're going to see in this series, it's not quite that simple. Because Satan has a way of telling you that I won't steal from you, I won't kill from you, I won't destroy you. And he'll say, you know, if God loves you so much, why are you so miserable? God loves you so much, why does he allow you in the wilderness? God loves you so much, how come you're broke? How come your health's going down? How come your wife's mean? Your husband's mean? Your children are mean? Your boss is mean? What kind of God do you want to serve? Satan is that good. And he'll get you to thinking, people. And that's when, if you'll let me use the phrase, all hell breaks loose when you go to thinking. Because now you're not thinking on a spiritual level, you're thinking on a Roger level. And when Roger goes to thinking, that's what happens to my life. When I give my life to Jesus and I turn it over, even when I don't understand, I will have life more abundantly. And let me tell you this, and I'm going to close with this. This abundantly, people think that's always here on this planet. No. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that if you love the Lord and you're faithful to him, that you're never going to have a problem, folks. But that's not biblical, nor is that reality. Jesus went to the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness many times in my life. My family's been in the wilderness many times. But when God brings me out of the wilderness and the sun comes up, there is no greater place to be than in the warmth of the sun, because he walked me out of the wilderness. Give the Lord a hand of applause. See, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the precious holy name of Jesus, your forgiveness is in this place. Your grace is in this place. Your mercy is in this place. Your presence is in this place. There be one here today in this audience, Father, who just needs to feel the warmth of your love today. May they come to this altar and just simply say, Jesus, here am I. I don't know what's going on in my world, but Father, guide me through it. Hold my hand. Hug me. Give me wisdom. For Father, I'm a child of the King. And I want to get out of this wilderness with you. If you're watching by internet today, you could be in the wilderness right now from the time that you're watching this. I don't know what's going on in your life. But if you are in real need, reach out to Jesus. Call him by name. Be serious about it. And if you want to change your life, he'll change your life no matter where you are at around this globe. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, may lives be changed. For Satan is coming after her, everyone. But Father, when Jesus is in front of me and I put him first in my life, Father, he cannot get to me. And if Jesus chooses to allow me to go to the wilderness, Father, he's right there with me. Tests and lives come every day. But Father, when we live for you, we will be winners. Father, if there's someone looking for a good church home, Father, we'd love to have them at our church. But Father, most of all, if there's someone lost today, no one is promised tomorrow. Jesus is coming soon. Will you come? Will you step out and let Jesus change your life? In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we pray. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, will you come in the name of Jesus?